Welcome to this edition of the School Marketing Podcast. My name is Randy Vaughn. I'm one of the marketing twins, also author of the blog portion of yourschoolmarketing.com. I'm thrilled today to share with you an interview that I conducted with two of my favorite school marketing guys out there. If you follow me on Twitter, or if you're over on our Facebook page, certainly on our blog, you're going to see these two names. I share their stuff probably more than anybody else right now. It seems like these two gentlemen are always sharing such practical resources for private independent schools. And so I share with you, first of all, we have Dr. Rick Newberry. Rick is the president of Enrollment Catalyst, and it's over at enrollmentcatalyst.com. Alongside him, we have Brendan Schneider. Now, Brendan kind of has two hats. Brendan shares a lot of this school marketing ideas, practical resources, tips, and tools that he's using at SchneiderB.com. But also, for those of you who are full-time at a school and you're listening to this, know that Brendan is full-time at Sewickley Academy, private school just outside of Pittsburgh. And so you're going to get some great ideas from both of these gentlemen today. I start with a question to Rick. What in private schools today is working and what is not?
You know, I have the opportunity to work with schools across the country, and as I particularly see it right now, I see schools taking and making a shift from some of the old traditional marketing strategies, for example, print, direct mail, could be some radio, could be TV in some cases, and really moving towards more of the web-based inbound marketing strategies. And that's really the focus in our world today. We look at everything that is coming at us, and we have the opportunity to be involved in a social context online. And so I really see schools making that move, and some of them have been more aggressive and more out in front, like Brendan and what he has done at Sewickley. And other schools are just trying to figure it out right now and move into the world of Facebook and Google and just trying to figure out what they need to do and, better yet, how to tell their story in an online world so that it will help to expand that word-of-mouth reach into the community that they're trying to attract to their school.
You know, private schools who are getting into online marketing and social media but without a strategy, well, you're setting yourself up for a lot of frustration, if not failure. So I asked Rick to share with you some resources that would help you do marketing better.
Well, I think one of the best ways is to actually check out a resource on word-of-mouth marketing by Andy Cernovich. In fact, he has a book out called Word-of-Mouth Marketing, and I often recommend this book as one of the main resources just for trying to outline your marketing strategy at your school. And what I like, what it does is it talks about sharing, you know, really the number one way of how families find out about a school is through the referral, through the comments, through the stories of someone else that's been connected with that school. And what the online world does for us in web-based marketing is it gives us an avenue, really a tool to be able to share our story so that it can be passed on through Facebook and through your own website and through a blog and, you know, just through putting out real stories about your school in this context. So I would steer everyone towards Andy's book on word-of-mouth marketing. And certainly there's some other great resources on web-based or inbound marketing strategies like Likeable. That's a great book to be able to focus in on Facebook and social media strategies as well.
I now ask Brendan to share some ideas about how social media is changing the way schools do marketing.
If I could just dovetail off Rick, the thing that's so great about social media and the web now is that the word of mouth, you know, where those conversations used to take place in, we say, the parking lot or the aisle four of the local grocery store, you know, the difference was those conversations were basically one-to-one, and then when the conversation was done, they're over. Well, nowadays, that stuff's online and ultimately searchable. So you have those conversations, and you have to be aware now that they don't go away and that good or bad, it's important to manage those. And the other piece, the terms of telling your story, is that somebody's going to tell the story, and you want to make sure that you're part of that conversation, because it's going to happen whether you're there or not. And the book that I particularly like and recommend is the Inbound Marketing book. There's a long, long subtitle, but it's by Brian Halligan and Dharmesh Shaw. That's a book I point people to a lot.
One of the reasons I wanted Brendan to be a part of the interview was to share with you how another private school transitioned from an unsuccessful strategy to a successful strategy using inbound marketing.
For us, it really started in 08-09 when the economy tanked, and it was out of necessity, which I think a lot of schools face now. So long story short, the first thing we did was run to traditional marketing ideas, and we thought we'd be courageous and try some new things like billboards and placards in the airport, which proved to be a terrible waste of money. And then we jumped to Facebook and Twitter. We thought, oh, you know, social media by itself is going to save us, and it was going to bring hundreds of full-pay, mission-appropriate families. But that didn't work by itself. The important thing for us was strategically coming up with an inbound marketing model with search engine optimization first. So the idea of getting found for keywords that were important for us. And I mean, every school has its own specific challenges. Ours was the fact that we're Sewickley Academy, located in Sewickley, Pennsylvania, which is 12 miles north of Pittsburgh. So we never talked about Pittsburgh. And when you would search for Pittsburgh private schools, we didn't show up on the first page of Google. And I would argue that if you're not on the first page, you might as well not exist. So we had an interesting location challenge right away. And that's really where we got started.
And I, you know, just to jump in for a second, Brendan, yeah, I think I really see that in a lot of schools, you know, really wanting and needing to tackle the whole search engine optimization. You know, it's surprising to me of how many schools are at just the ground level at that.
Yeah.
You know, and I look at that's got to be the priority. You know, you got to have a great website for your school with content that's dynamic. But you've got to focus in on those keywords so that you can be found when people are doing a search. So,
yeah, and the other thing too that we found is that we all, and I would suggest that the schools that are listening to this also suffer from something that we call the curse of knowledge, meaning we know the independent school is, you know, for us, it's an independent school, could be a Christian school, could be, you know, some other type of school. So, you know, the language and the vernacular, you know, I would challenge you to think like a family who doesn't know those words. And it's really important to identify those search phrases that you want to be found for and think of it, you know, from the, or come at it from an angle from a person who doesn't have experience with your school.
I think that's a great,
the example is, would any prospective parent search on independent school in Pittsburgh? Not likely.
Yeah. And the answer is no, it's private. Exactly. Yeah.
It's probably the number one question that I get, whether I'm consulting with small businesses or private schools. It seems to be an issue of resources, time, personnel. The question is always the same. How much time do I need to spend on Facebook or Twitter or whatever the tool is? And I think Rick and Brendan both will share with you some ideas that I think you'll find helpful.
Well, I mean, the time issue is going to be relevant to the type of school, the size of school, the amount of staff that you can, you know, even commit to the overall marketing and enrollment effort. And I've worked with schools of all sizes, you know, schools that haven't even hired their first enrollment or marketing professional, to schools that have a staff of, you know, four in admissions and, you know, another two or three in the marketing area. So the time issue is going to be really a relative to the type of school, your situation, and how much resources you can put into it. It certainly is the type of thing where it could really drain a lot of your time. And I think that's why you have to be strategic. You have to understand where your school is at and what you're trying to accomplish. So, for example, if a school hasn't invested time and effort into their own website, and telling their story effectively there, that would be number one starting point. And then from there to get into social media, I would take steps. For example, it may be a step into Facebook, for example. That's the world's largest social media channel at this point. So, you know, that's where people are at, and that's where people are talking, so we need to be part of that conversation. Can you do everything at once? No. Should you do everything at once? No. And so you take it in steps based upon your school situation and the resources and time that you have. Brendan, you want to add to that based upon your own experience?
Yeah, no. I think you hit everything. I would say that. And to add on, I agree with Rick. We focused on our own website first. You know, it's where we spend a lot of money. It's where the writing is perfect. You know, the photos are fantastic. And it's, again, that's the core of our marketing hub. The one thing I would tell people to do is, you know, you're going to focus on that search engine optimization on your home, you know, your website first. And the other thing you need to start to do, and for us internally, we didn't struggle with this, but we just had to start to think like this. Our website is there to attract students. You know, there are other functions too, but so it's there to attract students. And, you know, there's a smaller function with the alumni piece, but we've done this recently and had success. You know, the traditional website's going to have one spot that says request information. You can't do that anymore. I think you have to have multiple areas where people can convert, meaning a family will go from, you know, just a family out there to a prospective family, meaning giving you their information. So look for multiple places on your school's website that you can convert. And again, I agree with Rick, you can't do it all. I mean, because I think schools, while they're going in this direction, have been slow to go because they either don't have the internal expertise, they don't understand it, they might have a leadership that isn't really on board with it. but you know, you have to jump in. So in terms of time, it'll take all the time you give it. You know, if you can give it 15 minutes a day, an hour a day, it'll take 20 hours. I mean, it'll just, you got to put limits on it and manage it. And for me, my recommendation would be, especially with Facebook's changes now, I'm having a harder time engaging on Facebook, and maybe it's my hang up, but I would really look at a blog. Simply because at a blog, you manage the conversation. And really, that's the big piece for the search engine optimization is through a blog, and you control that. So, and the other thing that Rick said, which I can't agree with enough, is you can't do it all. Start small and have success small. If it's just a Twitter account, do that and do it the best that you can, and don't worry about the other stuff. Because eventually, you're going to have, whether it's board members or faculty or administration, say, why don't we do this? Why don't we do this? Why don't we do this? And those usually come from people who don't understand what it takes. That while Facebook is free, the cost of your time and other people's time, I mean, it is a real number.
And Brenda, I think it comes back to the bottom line strategy is we have to tell the story of our school. So we have to get content out, photos, video vignettes, all of that out there about our particular school. And we can use those different social media outlets or web outlets to be able to accomplish that. But we have to zero in on, you know, a starting point, something that's manageable. You know, start with your website. I agree with you about the blog. You know, that's a strategy you and I use, you know, in our own, you know, work. And so practicing what we're preaching here, because it really does work. I mean, for example, every time I produce a blog post, I can see the spike in people going to my website.
Yeah.
And the same is true for a school. But yet the things that I see schools doing is that they're just broadcasting. They're broadcasting events and activities. They're not really using it as an opportunity to engage their audience in real stories about their school.
I truly believe, in terms of social media, I think Facebook can be, with the right strategy, a real powerful tool for your school. Let's think about it internally. What family doesn't love to see their kids showcased in a video or a photo from one of their competitions or an athletic event or something in the fine arts? You know, we love that, whether they're elementary or all the way up to high school. The families love to see their kids online and on the Facebook page. And that's good for retention, for sure. Now let's think about it, though, in terms of the prospective families. You know, they've been to your open house, and they've heard your, the spiel there. They've seen the glossy brochures. They've read the website where everything looks perfect. But I think Facebook can be a real tool for showcasing what I call evidence. Evidence that says what you say in the brochure, what you say on the website, and what you told me at the open house really does take place. And so Facebook really is an opportunity to get beyond just the slick photos and the well-written copy and really showcase a story. And so I ask, particularly Rick starts out with a conversation about how do we tell the story and using Facebook so that prospective families get that this is worth the investment they're going to have to make.
Part of it may be using your current parents to tell their own story of why they made the investment and the difference that it's made on their son or daughter. And then you could also look at those alumni stories, stories of the alumni who graduated from your school, looking back on the foundation that they received and really being appreciative of that. That's key, I think.
Yeah, and one of the things for us, and it's just, again, it's time and resources that we're trying to jump into more and more is video, which is, you know, an obvious kind of dovetail to what Rick is saying, is get people on video. And I think it's important because as much as Rick and I have both said, hey, focus on your website first, I think families looking at the website then go, is it really that nice? Like, does everybody look like that? So they want to know the quote unquote real story. You know, they want to pull the curtain back to see. So what's the dirt? You know, what's really going on there? And I think not that there's anything negative, but that's what social media allows you to do is show them what happens day to day. So, you know, I try, and it's hard to find time, but I try to get out and just take little photos of things here and there, you know, the grilled cheese sandwich at lunch or the second grade in dance class and put them up on Facebook. You know, we haven't talked about it, but it goes without saying, I think, you know, that the media videos and photo get a lot more reactions on our social media channels than just text.
It definitely. I mean, I'm seeing that difference in several of the schools that I'm working with. They've now taken the transition or made the transition to move from that text broadcast, you know, here's the next event coming up, to, you know, putting a photo up of the second grade class doing an art project and telling a little story behind it. And that's going to generate more engagement, people to like it and to comment and even to share that on to someone else. And that's what we're after. Yeah. I had a recent story from a school that that was really interesting. I was talking with the school I'm working with, and the marketing director shared with me that they just had a parent on campus visiting the school. And she said, you know, the way that I found out about your school is I ran across your school on Facebook through one of my friends. And I began to look in at the school on Facebook to get a feel for what was going on at this school. And I liked what I saw. And because of that, I'm here today to take the next step to find out more. Yeah. And that's the type of story that, you know, really can lead us in that effort of trying to do everything that we can to communicate. Because we don't know exactly who's peering in and taking a look out in this web-based world. When they are, they're taking a good close look at us, and hopefully they'll take that next step and discover more about us and even enrolling in our schools.
As we come to the close of the interview, I know you've enjoyed hearing from Dr. Rick Newberry and Brendan Snyder. these guys are sharing some great content, great ideas. And one of the things that I wanted to make sure I had some time for them to encourage you with is, you know, we've all talked about it on the interview, and I talk about it with schools that I work with, how important it is to, you know, you got to make sure you get the story right. You got to make sure you allocate the proper amount of time. You got to make sure you do it with the proper strategy. And sometimes it's just a matter of figuring out how to use the tool, much less having to do it right. And you kind of get overwhelmed or maybe even paralyzed, and you're not sure what to do next. Or some of you are thinking, what do I do first? And so I wanted you to hear from Rick and Brendan both. And Brendan, I think, goes first. And let them encourage you on what to do if you're feeling a little overwhelmed right now.
You know, what I would say is jump in. You know, the reason that I started my blog is, you know, if you go back to our story of how we got started, is I started my blog and all the social media stuff under my name because I thought, geez, if I screw it up, you know, so to speak, I'll just ruin my reputation and not my school's. Well, the thing I've learned is you can't screw anything up. So if you're hesitant or nervous about it, again, pick something small, jump in. And the biggest thing is you have to measure. Measure your results and see what happens. But definitely just jump in.
Yeah, and I agree with Brendan. The other thing I would say is that, you know, a great resource is to read Brendan's blog, because he is writing about the different types of strategies that he is using at Swickley. And I've just found it to be very valuable, and I recommend it to any school that I'm working with. And I just appreciate his insights and perspectives, because he's doing it. And, you know, he's learning along the way. And certainly I'm sure there's been, you know, things that you might have done differently. But, you know, like you said, you just have to jump in. You have to try it. And don't get so overwhelmed. I mean, there's so many sites out there. Don't get overwhelmed by that. Just start small. Take a step. Yeah. Go from there.
This has been so much fun for me to share this interview with you. You know, I told you in the beginning, if you follow me on Twitter or Facebook, if you read the blog, there are not two other men out there that I share as much content of theirs as these two. You hear how practical they are and how insightful their resources, their ideas are. And so I want you to subscribe to them and get this content directly into your news feed every day. First of all, Dr. Rick Newberry, you can go to enrollmentcatalyst.com. Certainly subscribe to his blog, and he's over on Facebook, so you can connect with him there. But certainly, you're going to learn a lot from Dr. Newberry. And certainly, as Rick said, you've got to follow Brendan's blog. Brendan is over at schneiderb.com. That's S-C-H-N-E-I-D-E-R-B.com. You're going to get some great tools, tips, resources. And remember, Brendan is doing this in a full-time position at Swickley Academy, a private school. So if you're in a position like that, just know that Brendan is doing this the same way you are. And so I think you're going to have a great connection with him. And he's on Twitter, he's on Facebook, and certainly subscribe to his blog. Let me leave you with this encouragement. As they both said, if you're feeling overwhelmed or unsure what to do, just jump in and get started. You know, you're going to measure it, you're going to take some time, and be patient with yourself. Allocate the resources it takes and just have some fun with it. Look for some ways to have some real positive, tangible results on telling your story of your school. If you want some more ideas and tips, certainly follow us over at yourschoolmarketing.com. My name is Randy Vaughn. I'm one of the marketing twins. We do small business consulting over at marketingtwins.com. But if you want more ideas and resources, certainly follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and you can get all those links over at yourschoolmarketing.com.